Welcome to ICTJ's podcast, in which we discuss accountability in transitional contexts with leaders in human rights and international justice. I'm here today with Suleiman Baldo, director of ICTJ's Africa program. Suleiman recently returned from the Ivory Coast, where he was one of three expert commissioners on the International Commission of Inquiry into Post-Election Violence. On June 15th, the commission submitted its report to the UN Human Rights Council. The report details many serious violations of human rights and international humanitarian law that occurred after the elections last fall, in which incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo refused to step down for President-elect Alassane Ouattara. Suleiman, thank you for joining us today. Please begin by explaining the context for the International Commission of Inquiry. Why was this commission necessary, and what was its mission?
Thank you for having me. And the commission was set up to look into the episode of massive human rights violations that occurred in Ivory Coast in the post-electoral period. The Human Rights Council of the United Nations decided to establish an independent commission of inquiry and to send it to Ivory Coast to investigate the events and the facts of what occurred, the circumstances of what happened, and to identify authors of violations in order to uphold accountability for violations that occurred.
The report notes that although security has improved since Gbagbo's arrest in March, human rights violations continue. Do you see any hope for a resolution to the violence in the near future?
The hope for resolution of continued violence is in the political will at the level of the new leadership in Ivory Coast to really uphold rule of law and put an end to impunity, basically. President Ouattara repeatedly states his commitment to these principles. He has shown political will and courage by asking the Human Rights Council in the first place to set up this independent commission of inquiry. And the council has, you know, established it in, you know, to a certain degree also in response to the invitation from the elected leadership. Second, President Ouattara and his government have asked the International Criminal Court to become involved in the Ivory Coast. So this is another measure of that political will. Third, the government established a civilian investigation from the public prosecutor and from a military prosecutor as well to look into crimes that occurred during the crisis, the post-election crisis. And more recently, the day after we submitted our report to the Human Rights Council as an independent investigative commission, the Ivory Coast set up an investigative, national investigative mechanism to look into crimes that occurred since the 28th of November, that's to say the same period we reported on. However, we expressed concern in our report about the fact that the investigation or the preliminary investigation led by the military prosecutor as well as the public prosecutor were both limited up to now and as far as we know to officials of the former government and not to, to violations that continue to occur now. Therefore, they are not investigating current violations. And that gives an alarming sign, perhaps, of victor's justice. And there is a lot of pressure on the government to really try and cover both sides.
The report calls for an end to impunity and for the government to establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to address the underlying causes of the crisis. What precedents are there for transitional justice in the context of post-election violence?
It's called the Dialogue, Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And for the Ivorian leadership, the commission doesn't have a judicial investigative mandate. They consider that this is of the you know, of the powers of the judiciary and of, you know, the justice administration, and they shouldn't be dealing with that at the TRC. Therefore, they are more focused, I believe, on the intercommunal reconciliation, social peace dimension of the TRC, rather than the establishment of responsibilities for violations that occurred and further reference for these violations for judicial investigations as is happening with other commissions. The precedents for such commissions do exist, of course. We had one, for instance, in Kenya, post-election crisis. Africa has known several other truth and reconciliation commissions in post-conflict situations, such as in Sierra Leone, in Liberia. Of course, the best-known example is the post-apartheid era Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. So there is no lack of precedent, of course. We have recommended, of course, to the team setting up the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that they should not rush the process as they appeared intended to. They should be more deliberate, more consultative, and more inclusive. So I think they will be heeding this advice, especially that there are other quarters also interested in influencing this process and providing technical assistance and support to them, and the ICTA would eventually become involved in that capacity of giving advice and technical expertise to this new commission.
What evidence did the commission find for ethnic targeting and gender-based violence, and how might this factor into any potential resolution?
Well, the evidence for ethnic targeting is not difficult to establish because the way urban areas develop, you know, in this part of Africa, and particularly in Abidjan, you'll find that, you know, there was an original village, and then communities that migrated at different points in time would stick together into a residential area attached to that village. So even in the urban metropole, there are villages and there are residential areas attached to particular villages, and the whole of this constitute the metropolitan center of Abidjan. So during the violence, particular villages or residential areas attached to them that have predominant ethnic composition of the inhabitants were attacked by one party or the other, depending on the moment of the crisis. There is an overlap between political support and ethnic origin because of the nature of the political parties. The political parties still have ethnic identifications. So it's to a degree ethnic targeting, but also political targeting, because of this overlap.
You mentioned earlier that International Criminal Court prosecutor Luis Moreno Ocampo is seeking an investigation into war crimes and crimes against humanity allegedly committed in Ivory Coast. Are you optimistic about the outcome of the criminal justice measures that would likely follow such an investigation?
Well, the ICC, by its own mandate, can only have a very limited reach. It will be looking into the most serious crimes, you know, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocide, and for those most responsible perpetrators of such crimes. And if they indict or send to trial half a dozen people, I would think that would be great. So this leaves the question of what about other perpetrators who were, not the most responsible necessarily. In this case, national mechanisms, investigative mechanisms that I mentioned earlier by the the public prosecutor and the military prosecutor are underway, and they need to be watched very carefully to make sure that they are done properly, that they are done transparently and in a professional, neutral way, so that whoever is responsible, regardless of their affiliation, previous government or current one, should be really investigated and thoroughly for that matter.
What are the next steps with the Commission of Inquiry report and recommendations?
Because of the ongoing nature of the conflict and of the violations occurring on the ground, our focus was really on the follow-up to the Commission and its report. We made a strong recommendation for the setting up of a mechanism to report on a regular basis to the Human Rights Council on ongoing violations in Ivory Coast. I'm glad to report that the Human Rights Council has since adopted a resolution establishing an independent expert or special rapporteur for Ivory Coast. It is important to know that Ivory Coast has itself endorsed this recommendation. However, political will is not sufficient. Therefore, the fact that there will be an independent UN mechanism investigating and reporting on Ivory Coast efforts for upholding rule of law and really fighting impunity and so on is in itself a positive development, and we look forward to see this happen as soon as possible.
Thank you for joining us, Suleiman.
Thank you for having me. Many thanks.